Jean-Jacques Cornish with the Africa Report. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Bonjour. I'm immensely well. I'm sorry that we're not playing in that final.
You're immensely absent of a URC Grand Final. Second year in a row.
It seems you've taken out a long lease on that one, eh?
We'll come to the Bulls eventually. But you are in our nation's capital in Pretoria. You're covering all the major stories coming out of Africa. And one that has come out of Paarl yesterday in the Western Cape, Rwanda's most wanted fugitive, wanted in connection with atrocities committed during the Rwandan genocide in 1994, finally captured through a South African police and Interpol operation.
Yes, indeed. The best year for us, the worst year for them. You know, we were a little bit blind to it, actually, when we were so busy becoming a democracy. Fulgence Kayishima, he actually fled and went to the DRC, moved around Africa a little bit, was in Eswatini, but in 1999, he's been on the run for 22 years. He came to South Africa and gained asylum under a false name. There was a support network for him in Cape Town, former Rwandan military people. But the capture, which was the hawks with the United Nations investigators, occurred. And he's now going to be charged with the killing of more than 2,000 Tutsis. Men, women, children, elderly, at the church, or the church of Notre Dame de la Visitation in Yanga. When they didn't manage to kill everybody, they set fire to the church and burned those that remained. Absolutely shocking business. Now, apparently the Rwandans are still looking for more than 1,000 suspects, but three major ones like Fulgence Kayishima. And he's going to appear in court in Cape Town today. They will try to extradite him as quickly as possible, I think.
How is it that someone could be living a seemingly very middle-class life? I've seen some of the photographs of his arrest. He seems like a very comfortable man in terms of his physical surroundings. He was arrested in a residential suburb. How is it that we could have genocidaires living in relative comfort in South Africa 20 years after the Rwandan genocide?
Well, 2 years ago, they found a similar genocidaire in very middle-class Paris suburb. So these people go into hiding, and there is, as we say, a support network for them. And so they managed to hang out as long as possible. Interestingly, the United States War Crimes Rewards Program put up a $5 million reward for Kayishima. I don't know if anybody in South Africa will be claiming that, but very interesting to see. They have really come to the party to try and bring these people to justice.
And then to the West Africa now, Nigeria opens Africa's largest oil refinery.
Yeah, $20 billion oil refinery. Aliko Dangote, Africa's richest man, is behind it. He put up half the money and the banks the other half. This is in Lagos, in the Ileki Free Trade Zone. This is going to have the capacity to produce 53 million liters of petrol, 4 million liters of diesel, and 2 million liters of aviation fuel daily. The thing about Nigeria is that it doesn't have the capacity to refine its own oil, so it has to, it sells this, the black gold, but it has to import the refined material from India, Belgium, the United Arab Emirates. The thing about this is Nigeria is currently not Africa's largest oil producer. That goes to Angola with 1.1 million barrels per day. And Nigeria and Algeria are on about 800,000 barrels per day. But if Nigeria can clean up its act, as it were, it will become the largest yet again. Angola is always ready to step up to gain those bragging rights when something goes wrong in Nigeria.
And then finally, JJ, Britain refuses to return the remains of an Ethiopian prince who was buried in Windsor Castle in the 19th century. This is the same venue where Queen Elizabeth II's remains are interred. But how does an Ethiopian prince come to be buried in Windsor Castle?
Well, he is the son. His name is Alemayehu, and he is the son of Emperor Theodorus II, who killed himself after being defeated by Britain in 1868. So Alemayehu and his mum were then shipped off to Britain. His mum died virtually en route. And Alemayehu stayed with Queen Victoria at Windsor. And she was very, very saddened, according to her diaries, about his death, and asked that he be buried in St. George's Chapel in Windsor. Now, the Ethiopians are saying, we want his remains back. But the Brits have gone back to Ethiopia and saying, he was buried, his grave is added to 9 others. And there are a number of people, you know, a number of remains, but they cannot separate his remains from others. Now, they've allowed Ethiopians to come to St. George's Chapel in Windsor to pay their respects there. But they're simply saying, we can't separate these remains and send them. And the Ethiopians are very angry about that.
Jean-Jacques Cornish, enjoy your time watching the URC final tomorrow in front of the TV if you're not affected by load shedding. But I look forward to chatting to you next week. Stay well, sir.